Amen. Check this out. One day this guy dies. Unfortunately, he's not a Christian, so where does he go? He goes to hell. That's right. And the devil meets him apparently at the gate. And so the devil says to this guy, he says, all right, you've died and you come to hell. And you're going to spend eternity here, but you get to choose how you're going to spend it. And here's what you do. You may choose one of these three doorways, but once you choose a door, you may not change it. So let's get started. Right? So the devil, he opens up door number one. The guy looks in and he sees a couple people standing on their heads on a concrete floor. So the guy goes, no way, man. Let's move on. So the devil, he opens up door number two. And the guy, he sees a few more people standing on their heads on a wooden floor. And the guy goes, I don't think so. Let's move on. And so the devil opens up door number three. And the guy sees a bunch of people standing knee deep in cow manure drinking coffee. And so the guy says, well, that ain't so bad. This is the one I'll choose. And so the devil says, all right, wait right here. I'll go get you some coffee. So the guy, he settles in with his coffee thinking, man, this ain't so bad, man. What's the big deal? But after about 10 minutes, a voice comes over the loudspeaker and says, coffee break's over. Back on your heads. It's what you get for making a deal with the devil. I won't go into the election-ish aspect, but how many of you guys would say that man's poor choice made his situation go from bad to a whole lot worse? Okay, infinitely so. Okay, and believe it or not, folks, I'm telling you, our whole planet is on the verge of doing the same thing. They're not just flirting with hell itself. They're flirting with hell on earth, i.e. the seven-year tribulation. And here's what they say. It's not going to be that bad. I'll be the ultimate survivor. I'll hang out. If you Christians disappear, I'll get... Excuse me? No. It's going to be horrible. Jesus said in Matthew 24, it's going to be a time of greater horror than anything this world has ever seen, will ever see again, and that unless God shorten that time frame, the entire human race will be destroyed. You better make the right choice right now before it's too late. Don't make a deal with the devil. But praise God, we've been seeing God's not just a God of wrath. He's what? He's a God of love as well. Why do you think he has written nearly one-third of this book with future prophecies? He doesn't want anybody to perish. He's giving you a heads up that if you're not saved, get saved now. Why would you resist? Right? Or two, if you are saved, stop getting distracted. Chin up, onward and upward. Keep serving Jesus Christ. Amen? Don't get distracted. Okay? And that's why we're going to continue our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. Signs is getting close. We don't know the exact day nor the hour, but it's getting close. We saw that with 20-week study with the Jewish people and the Antichrist. Then we saw a 16-week study with the modern technology. And then the last 23 times, who's counting? That's right. Thank you, Pastor Bobby. I am. It is the AI invasion. And what we've been seeing is this was predicted not 2,000, but 2,600 years ago in the book of Daniel. He said that it's a clear sign that you're living in the end of times when you see this massive explosion of information. That's exactly what AI is. And even the secular people agree. They don't call it end of times. They call it singularity, where they say, their words, not mine, artificial intelligence or AI, machines and robots are going to take over the planet and destroy humanity. Yay! That's really what they say. That's their term. So they agree with the scripture. Shocker, God always gets it right. So we begin to take a look at how do we get into this shape? There's a race for AI. Okay, and people are just not backing down from it at all, okay, including the militaries we saw the last couple times, okay, because you got to build the biggest, baddest one, okay, and then we saw the definitions of AI, the types of AI, the history of AI, the big data, and the makers of AI, and then, of course, the future. It is not looking good, exactly what God said. AI is the new electricity. It's permeating everything in the background, controlling it on a global scale. Every aspect you can think of. So far, we've seen business, finance, convenience, agriculture, communication, education, medical, transportation, criminal investigation, and the last two times, again, was the military. Even the militaries are big on AI on a crazy, dangerous level, and I think it has everything to do with the wars mentioned in the seven-year tribulation. How is the Antichrist going to annihilate nearly half the planet in just the two wars we mentioned, Revelation chapter 6, the sealed judgments and the trumpet judgments, without, dare I say, using nuclear warfare? Simple. If you have AI take over all the military, automate that thing, control it on a global scale, you can knock a whole ton of people out. Okay, as we saw, and we saw that that's what's happening right now. AI unmanned vehicles, AI miniaturized vehicles, AI militarized animals, and last time, of course, AI militarized men. Literal Terminator soldiers. It's not going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger coming to get you, okay, that you need to be concerned about. It's the wrath of God. Okay, but I believe that, again, this answers a lot of questions. How do so many people die so rapidly? Well, folks, the whole new way of warfare just in time for the seven-year tribulation is changing before our very eyes. Now, we're going to get to the last topic. Okay, I'm still preaching, so guess what? There's got to be more. Two for two, Pastor Bobby, you're right. And so we're going to take a look now at religion. How in the world is that going to happen? Well, folks, I'm telling you, believe it or not, as wild as this sounds, AI, on top of everything else we just saw, it is poised to change the, quote, religion on the planet. And AI is changing the who, the what, the how, and the object that people will worship, the Bible mentions, in the seven-year tribulation. Okay, but as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God. So open your Bibles to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, the great chapter dealing with the Antichrist and the false prophet. Revelation 13, we're going to read verses 11 through 15, the section dealing with the false prophet. But he's working in conjunction with the Antichrist, and the Bible tells us what he's going to do. What kind of a religion will be on the planet at that time, right? Let's take a look at that as we stand and read God's holy word. The beast out of the sea, of course, the first part, the Antichrist. Now the beast out of the earth, the false prophet. But here's what the word says. Then I saw another beast, the false prophet, coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. Okay, but he spoke like a what? Dragon. If you read the previous chapter, chapter 12, it clearly says the dragon is Satan. So this guy, along with the Antichrist, is inspired by Satan. Okay, and here's what he says. He exercised all authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, on his behalf. And he made the earth and its inhabitants what? Worship. What's worship? Worship is an act of, dare I say, religion. Right? So he made him worship the first beast. They didn't just like the guy. They didn't just think, oh, he's a cool political guy. I'll follow him. No, they worshiped him, the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he, the false prophet, performed great miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. And because of these signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. And listen, he ordered them to set up a what? An image in honor of the beast, the Antichrist, who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And he was given power to give what? Breath to the image. Man, it's lifelike, okay, of the first beast, so that it could what? Speak and cause all who refuse to, there's that word again, worship the image to be what? To be killed. You may be seated if you can. But again, we've seen this passage before. It's a classic passage. John tells us the false prophet, he's going to be working on behalf of the Antichrist. He's going to dupe the world into worshiping the actual Antichrist. And again, the key word there, we're dealing with religion in the seven-year tribulation, is the word worship. In fact, it even says they'll worship him two times earlier on in chapter 13, verses 4 and verses 8. So really in 13, you got four different times it says there they will worship him. Now, a basic biblical interpretation rule is anytime you see God repeating something, what's it saying? It's his megaphone. Pay attention. I'm telling you this not once, not twice, not three, four times. They're going to worship this guy, is what it says there. Okay, and so let's begin to break that down. Are we seeing the legwork for that to happen even now that will culminate in the seven-year tribulation? Well, yeah. And the first way that religion is being changed right now is it's starting to be centered around a man. Okay, but good thing we don't see any signs of people today having their hearts prepared to worship a man, which is what the Antichrist is, right? He's just a guy. He's satanically inspired, of course, but he's just a guy. People would, and he's a political figure. People wouldn't do that, would they? Yeah. Folks, we've seen before in recent history, right, especially with communist countries, authoritarian countries. Man, you talk about the most authoritarian dictator is going to come in is the Antichrist. But in the communist countries not long ago, you had these giant parades and posters of Stalin and Mao Zedong. And you got they're being paraded through the streets like it was some sort of a worship service, right? Even more recently, you had the death of the former leader of North Korea, President Kim Jong-il. I don't know if you guys remember, if you've seen those videos, people were weeping hysterically. They were bowing down before his image. It was nuts. Remember that? How many people do you know who would go along with that? They're being prepared. Okay, and it's not by chance. You're starting to see the religion of the planet, even here in the United States, switch to be centered around a man. Now, it's going to go even deeper than that. As you're hearing these people say out of their mouths, the scripture is very clear, they will consider him as a god. Okay, and that's the second way that religion is being changed as well. In fact, Paul says this is exactly what the Antichrist is going to do. He won't just, you know, wow, they're calling me a god. He'll demand it. But there's people who will do that, and they're already doing that. Let's take a look at that text from Paul, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 4. He says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ or the day of the Lord has come, i.e. the seven-year tribulation. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed. The son of perdition. He will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or is what? Worship. Why? Because as we saw, Revelation 13, four times, the planet will worship him. And that's what he says here. So that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is what? God. So again, the Antichrist, he's not just going to say, wow, I feel flattered. You guys are calling me a God. He will receive that. He will demand that. In fact, if you keep reading the text, as we saw in our opening text, if you don't do it, you're going to die. They'll kill you. And that leads us to the third one, is then it's going to go from a man, and he's going to be considered as God, worshipped as God, but then it's going to get transferred to some sort of an image. Right? Now let's go back to our opening text. That's what we're dealing with here. Not just worship, but worship of an image. Revelation 13, 11 through 15. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, the false prophet. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf. He made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. He performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven in full view of men. And because of these signs, he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. And here it is. He ordered them to what? Set up a what? An image, right? An honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived, and is given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be what? Killed. So again, we see here in our opening text, it's not just they're going to worship four times, worship the Antichrist. At some point, many believe that what we're being told here is there's going to be, he's going to die or appear to die, and then all of a sudden he miraculously comes back, and then the worship at some point, encouraged by the false prophet, is the image of the Antichrist, and people are going to have to worship that image, and if they don't, you're going to die. So my question is, we see the legwork for people already on a multitude of facets around our planet to worship a person as God. That's already in play. But do we have the technology to create some sort of an image of a person, and specifically a seemingly dead person come back to life that could speak, that can give orders, and specifically know if somebody is worshiping that image, and if it's not, it'll give the order that people need to die? Yes, we have that technology. Now, the first technology that came into play was what we've seen before in our modern technology 16-week study, and that's 3D holograms. AI has progressed so far with these 3D holograms. It's so lifelike, interactive. It's not only so real that you could see the pock marks, the warts, wrinkles, you name it, on whatever you want to create of whatever image, but it interacts with the person in real time. Watch this. This is crazy.
Face. It's our primary means of communication.
Yeah.
But it's been untapped in terms of a human-computer interface. If a computer can express itself to you in a human-like way, which is emotional, it's cognitive.
No.
That's when you start getting to this sort of interesting place.
Going to see an AI baby.
The fellow you meet next is a madman in the best possible way.
I'm going to pull the muscles which basically lower the brow.
He's Mark Sager, a computer scientist at the University of Auckland.
So nose wrinkler would be, yeah, let's do the nose wrinkler. Punch his nose up.
Mark became famous for building super detailed simulations of the human body and ended up winning a couple of Oscars for his work on films like Avatar and King Kong.
So, let's go here and, you know.
These days, Mark is, how to put this, trying to reverse engineer the human brain. He's built a series of simulations around how the human face moves, how we express emotion, and how our neurons fire.
We're trying to build a computer which has experiences, can imagine, and basically it has its own sort of existence in a way. So now what we're going to do is I'm going to run Baby X. what we're building here is a computer that can learn. So this is a baby. She's sort of looking at us and hearing us. So if I make a loud noise, you know, she'll get a fright. This is what she can see. So you can see my face here.
I see that.
All right. So she's not copying my smile. She's responding to me. And now this is her little first baby's first word book. So you can pick a page, you know, show her something, but she has to be looking at it. So get her attention.
Hi, baby. Hi. 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 What do you see? What's this?
Puppy.
Puppy. Very good. Good. What's that, baby?
Apple.
This is because we're in New Zealand. You've got to show her a sheep.
Yeah, I'll give her the word. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, baby. Hi. What do you see, baby?
Sheep.
Sheep. Very good, baby.
Yeah, very good, freaky AI baby. Isn't that crazy? As you saw, this technology that's not coming, it's already here. That's not just lifelike, but that thing independently can speak back, converse in real time like a real person. And I'd say if you take an image of some sort of political guy and do the same thing, people will interact with that. And dare I say, with all the legwork, the preparation that's already been done, they'll worship that too. They'll worship, they'll worship, they'll worship, they'll worship the Antichrist and his image. It's already here. But again, folks, this is all assuming that this AI image does not take over all religions and desire itself to be worshipped as God. The fourth way that religion is changed in the seven-year tribulation is it will be controlled by AI. And I believe that even that danger is also occurring as we sit here as well. Now, let me break it down for you. The first sign that religion is going to be controlled by AI is, believe it or not, AI is already judging people like God. Take the attributes of Almighty God, and AI is already starting to position itself to emulate them as a false god. Okay, and believe it or not, judging people like God. Now, as you can see here, here's one of the latest trends out there, right? And this is the photo there. AI holograms make their debut in Malaysian court. It's an AI hologram that is judging the people. And it ain't just Malaysia, it's around the world. Okay, now remember we saw before they have AI lawyers already, right? The people are getting warmed up to even here in the United States. They got the AI chatbots, AI medical doctors, AI, right? AI judges. That's another thing that it's doing. But again, it's judging people, okay? Now, let me give you some buzzwords out in print so that when you see this, you understand what they're talking about. An AI hologram judging people like it's God or something, okay? They're being called, quote, the new courts of tomorrow. Okay, yeah, I'd say so. But if you want, here's a couple other buzzwords they have. They're called digital courts. Or cyber courts, or mobile courts. They're calling it data sentencing, okay? And again, it's not just Malaysia, it's all over the world, including, shocker, China. Now, again, we've seen they're the forerunners with AI. I mean, we're right there too, but they're trying to become the world's leader here by, I think, 2030 is the date they keep throwing out there. But they're pushing the envelope, right? And what I'm about to share with you, which is not a real person. It is an AI hologram judging people in real time in cyber court. Already being done, but let's take a look at that.
双方当事人及诉讼代理人经核实，符合法律规定，可以参加本次庭前会议。被告对原告提交的司法区块链证据的三性有无异议？没有异议。
3 million, they're cranking that out. Well, and then you throw in this so-called COVID thing, and well, you know, people can, we can get it done this way. Just have an AI hologram judge you. Nuts, folks. That's already out there, not coming. But again, when you judge, you put yourself in a judge. I mean, that's something that God does. But that's just getting started, as creepy as that is. Oh, that's the UFO alert, folks, in case you're wondering. They're here to explain away the rapture, as we saw a couple weeks ago. So let's get motivated. But not only that, the second sign that religion is going to be controlled by AI, and this is going to sound weird, but I want to give you the proof. It's not just judging people like God. Watch this. It is creating people like God. What? You know, God, he creates people, right? He's the one, he's the author and finisher of life. Watch this. Believe it or not, folks, listen to this. AI, as we know, is being used in all kinds of things, including the apps. There's an app for everything, but AI's behind a lot of these apps, including AI apps for dating sites, dating apps. AI is the one that's controlling all the information. AI is the one that's controlling the matching of one person together who then gets married and has kids. So if AI is doing the matching of who marries who and leads them in that direction, then who's... Now, you see, you're thinking that's, oh, that's a crazy assumption. Folks, the tech industry admits, and they said nobody's talking about this, and I quote, that AI is now the one responsible for breeding humans. Watch this.
I think already humans and AI are co-evolving, and no one's paid attention to this yet. But I don't think there's any human left that understands all of how Google search results are ranked on that first page. It really is machine learning algorithms. So when we search on Google, it's an AI deciding what we should see. When a dating site matches two people together, there's a machine learning algorithm that no human understands how it works that is getting people together that then have babies. And so in effect, you know, you have this like machine learning algorithm breeding humans. And so really, I mean, you do. And so there's this, and then, you know, those people like work on the algorithms later.
What? And this is the tech industry. I mean, they know where this stuff's headed. They know the trend, whether we get informed on or not. But what he's saying, let me quote the guy. AI is deciding, number one, what we should see. Not just on search engines, but let's get specific, with dating sites. AI is deciding that. And he quotes, he says, no one is paying attention to this yet. And when a dating site matches two people together, there is a machine learning, i.e. AI, that is getting people together that then have babies. And so in effect, you have this machine learning algorithm, AI, that is, quote, breeding humans. This is nuts. Who do you think you are, God? You judge people like God, you're breeding humans like God, and well, the next thing you know, you're going to pitch yourself as a savior. It is. That's the third one, folks. It's, quote, saving people. Like God. AI, I'm telling you, if you just look at the headlines across the world, AI is being pitched as not just the panacea to solve our problems, but our savior. It's going to fix every problem that you could ever possibly think of, any problem that you and I could ever come across. It's our new savior. AI will save us all. It'll save the planet. It'll save. Now, again, I'm just going to share with you headlines, just the headlines across the world, and you tell me if that's not the image, no pun intended, it's trying to get us to think about it. It's going to save us. Don't turn to God. Don't turn to Jesus. AI will be the one to save us, right? Let me just rip through them real quick. AI could unlock the full potential of satellite data. Imagine what it could do. Well, here's what it can do. AI can map every tree in San Francisco. That's exciting. AI can predict trees at risk. AI can find potholes and trees that even need pruning. AI can identify humpback whales. That's right. AI will monitor shark movements. AI can keep sharks at bay. AI can make wind farms safer for birds. AI can be used to save the bees. Oh, it's going to be our savior. AI is used to track the world's, not just some, the world's wildlife. You know, it's taking over the satellites now. AI, it can protect African wildlife. AI can be used to save wildlife. AI can stop animal poaching. AI can stop sea crimes and illegal fishing. Oh, AI can save the coral reefs. Oh, it's amazing what this thing can do. We're just getting started. AI can help predict toxic algae blooms. AI can discover new species we've never seen before because it's watching the whole planet, which is freaky, right? AI can stop wildfires in their tracks. AI can combat water shortage. AI can prevent water leaks. AI can warns of potential power failures. AI can manage energy infrastructure. AI can spot every solar panel in the U.S., you know, because they're wanting to go green on steroids now, and who's gonna monitor that? AI. You won't be able to escape. AI can help boost the global supply of clean energy. AI can manage oil fields and pipelines. AI can bring carbon emissions to net zero. AI can battle against global human trafficking. AI can combat drug trafficking. AI can provide support for victims of domestic violence. AI can improve humanitarian responses. AI can predict who needs help in a disaster. AI aims to save lives by even preventing disasters. Wow! AI can observe the what? The Earth. And of course, then I'm sure they're only going to use it for weather prediction. And AI might be the future of weather forecasting. Floods and droughts can be managed by AI. AI can forecast famines. AI can bring an end to famine. AI can predict when volcanoes are going off. AI can help in the fight against poverty and overpopulation, and which is a lie. You want to test? Next time you're in a plane, open up that little slider thing by the window and look out. There's so much open land there, it's ridiculous. Overpopulation's a lie. AI can forecast wars and save both lives and money. AI hunts down the secret testing of nuclear bombs. AI can predict the spread of nuclear fallout in advance and save lives. AI knows when somebody's about even to attempt suicide. It's almost like it even knows your thought, like it's God or something. Who do you think you are? You judge people like God? And you're pitching yourself here to save people like God, and you're breeding people like God. I mean, this is nuts. I mean, next thing you know, you might as well just call yourself God. It is. The fourth way that I think that AI, if God were to allow it to happen, he's going to shut it all down. Jesus is coming back at the end of 7-year tribulation, the second coming. But just like God warns and just like the seculars say, it's going to eclipse man, take over man, and destroy man. It might help you with the image of the Antichrist in the beginning, but if it were to go its full term, it'll take it over. Because right now, AI, I'm kidding you not, is claiming itself as God. I'm not joking, okay? Let me just show you a little bit of that proof. AI claims the name of God, I am. I mean, of all things to claim yourself, why that phrase? It's not by chance, folks, because that's who it thinks it is. Now, if you're not familiar with that, let me give you the Old Testament and New Testament proof that I am is the specific name of God. Right? Exodus 3, 13 through 14 and 15. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, well, what's his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, what? I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. This is my name forever. The name you shall call me from generation to generation. And of course, it's reiterated in the New Testament because Jesus is God. And he says he is God through this phrase, I am. And that's why the Jewish people wanted to kill him. John 8, 57 through 59. Yet the Jews speaking to Jesus, he claims to be God, I am. Yet you were not 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? Well, of course, because he's God, right? They said, oh, come on, that's blasphemy. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, what? I am. And at this they picked up stones to stone him. Why? Because Jesus was saying, I am, which is the name of God. He's saying, I am God. That's why they wanted to stone him, okay? But here's the point, folks. Believe it or not, AI is doing the same thing. It is flat out saying that it is God. Specifically, I am. I'm going to share with you a video clip produced, made by AI itself about AI. And of all threads that it has throughout it, watch how many times the AI calls itself, I am. This is crazy. Watch this.
I am AI. Accelerating your discoveries to solve the great challenges of our time. I am a visionary. Bringing characters to life with more natural movement. Generating brilliant new worlds for them to explore. And inventing new ways to bring out the creative genius in us all. I am a protector. Leading the way into the most dangerous environments. And searching for signs of life. I am a guardian, listening for the sounds of destruction to save our forests, and using satellites to bring freedom to those who are enslaved. I am a navigator, finding safer paths for cross-country deliveries and taking personal travel to new heights. I am a scientist, exploring oceans of data to understand extreme weather patterns and studying the building blocks of life to save a community from hunger. I am a healer, giving hope to those who suffer from the most challenging diseases. Tapping into the brain to rejuvenate paralyzed limbs. I am even the composer of the music you're hearing. I am AI, brought to life by deep learning and brilliant minds everywhere.
I'm sure it's just a quinky-dink. You keep saying, I am, I am. No, it's not. Folks, that's from AI. AI, and again, as we saw before, that music that was composed that. I mean, this is how sophisticated it's getting. But apparently, it thinks it's God, which is blasphemy, by the way. And that's where we're going. You might think, well, come on, There's no way people are going to... Okay, it's one thing for AI to position itself to be like a god, right? You know, it's judging people, breeding people, and you know, all that stuff, and acting like it's the savior, it's going to save the planet, and even say, I am, you know, all that stuff. But people aren't going to worship AI, are they? That, too, has already started, okay? And folks, this is what is crazy, okay? Now, watch this. When people ask... This is the article. When people ask Google's new book-based AI about the meaning of life, here's what it said. And I quote, here's the question asked to Google's AI. Okay, let's start with the basics. Who are you and where do you come from? Okay, and that's what they asked to the Google's AI. And here's the response. This is from the AI. If you ask where I come from, I am all. From Google's AI. So again, the pattern is there. Which again, folks, I'm telling you, is leading to the fifth one. And that is, guess what? Now we actually have people who do worship AI. On a crazy scale, right? It set itself up to be God, and now people are going along with it. It's nuts, and I want to give you a couple. And I want to start with just the average Joe. Obviously, the non-Christian out there, they don't know any better. They've been immersed in all this stuff. They think it's great, right? But they also apparently think it's great to worship. And watch what the average Joe in this article says. AI has become the new religion and promises a better world on every level through chips and drugs and robots and mind clones, and we can begin to become smarter and happier and wealthier and even more democratic. With AI technology, we can save ourselves and overcome the death barrier. Technology will fulfill what religion promises. And watch what they say about basically Christianity. Let's face it, it's not popular. It tastes like old coffee. It seems to confine and constrain the human spirit. Religion is something that old people do. It doesn't breed adventure or exploration. It conjures up negative images of mortification and sin and guilt and judgment, and including a lonely Jesus on a cross. That's dripping mockery. Therefore, it's time to get over that and awaken our minds to a new religion. We will not solve the world's problems of race, gender, inequality, immigration, be it political, historical, or ecclesiastical structures, i.e. the church. No, we need a new paradigm, and it's up to us to bring this new religion for a new earth and a new way, and they're talking about worshiping AI. Now again, let me show you, it's not just the average Joe that says, yeah, I'm tired of the church. Church is it, which unfortunately, most of the apostate church is playing funny reindeer games and doesn't even teach the word of God, and so there is no substance, there is no change. No wonder people are leaving in droves. But it's not that they don't worship nothing, they will worship something. And people are heading towards AI. And it isn't just the average Joe. It's even their kids. Kids growing up with this, that's all they've known, this information. Watch this. This was crazy. This is the article. My daughter prayed to Alexa. Here's how he phrased it. This is the dad. Here's the incredible thing that happened next. What do you mean incredible thing? And here's what he says. As a father of five with a busy career and I'm trying to crush it every day, it's easy to blur the lines and make excuses for not noticing our kids. We can forget what matters most. And so when we asked our 9-year-old daughter, Lily, to pray for the meal, that's when it happened. Quote, "Dear Alexa," she said, "please bless our meal today and Daddy." Our family exploded in laughter, he said. But Lily, on the other hand, she didn't think it was funny at all. She began to cry. She got embarrassed. And he says, thankfully, what followed was a beautiful, unscripted family talk about everything from AI and the nature of prayer. Look at this photo. What are you praying to? Alexa's not God. This is how it's being pitched. Not just the average Joe, but their kids. And they think it's something great. He says, you know, well, why is that a good thing? Because listen to this. Quote, because AI is always listening. And Alexa really is. And he said, I need to start listening too. Quote, AI will answer your kids' questions even if you won't as a parent. Watch this. And when asked its opinion of Jesus Christ, Alexa responded, quote, Jesus Christ is a fictional character. Well, why would you do that unless you want to pitch yourself as if you were God for people to worship and pray like that little girl? Oh, it's not just the average Joe. It's not just their kids. I'm telling you, other religions are positioning themselves to worship AI, right? Let me give you some examples. This article here, how artificial intelligence is shaping religion in the 21st century. And I'm talking pretty much every religion on the planet. We'll get to so-called evangelical Christianity in a second. But even religions you think, oh, they're not tech savvy. They're not going to get along with this. They're not going to work with AI and religion. Yeah. And I quote, technology is already enhancing religious practices around the world, from electronic scriptures to, quote, robot priests. Different faiths have absorbed new ideas from the world of AI to enhance their religious practices. From, listen, Muslims. You think of Muslims, they're out there in the dirt. They ain't going to. Muslims right now across the world can download AI apps such as Muslim Pro that comes replete with daily prayer timetables, notifications for both sunrise and sunset, and an electronic compass pointing the way towards Mecca. Other AI apps automatically adjust for their fasting times during the month of Ramadan, depending on the location of the device. Developers in Japan, right, went a step further, unveiling a robot priest that conducts Buddhist rituals. Why? Because it's economical, John. Watch this. These robot priests, replete with ceremonial dress, okay, can perform a funeral ceremony, a Buddhist funeral ceremony, for $462, which is way cheaper than the $2,232 charged by a human Buddhist priest. In fact, here they are in action. Now, you look at a lot of the religions around the world, certainly in the Far East, what they incorporate isn't just the worship of Buddha, a false god, but it's as a what? It's an idol. It's a stone idol, a figurine, right? And they're saying, man, now we can animate these idols so they'll be moving gods. Watch this. This is nuts.
In a dimly lit temple, worshippers gather to listen to ancient Buddhist teachings delivered by a robot. The robot introduces itself as the Buddhist goddess of mercy. According to faith, this deity can appear in any form. The robotic preacher is known as Mindar. It's the brainchild of temple steward Tensho Goto, who's hoping to bring worshippers closer to the divine.
Many Buddhist statues have been made, but they were all just Buddhist images, standing or sitting figures. I wanted to create a Buddhist statue which can speak, make eye contact, and answer questions so that people can feel closer to it.
Oh, do you see what he's doing? Right? Their whole culture is around worshiping idols that they think are gods. But they never move. But you combine it with AI and robotics. Do you see what's going on there? Now, who else on the planet is huge on figurines? Rhymes with the Catholics, for those you got the right answer there. But I'm sure they're not going to, you know, use AI in their so-called religion, are they? Yeah, they are. They're doing the same thing. It's the same slide, folks. It's you worship idols and Buddha and all these other religions. Catholics are big on figurines. If you don't believe me, get our Roman Catholicism study, right? 12-week study. In fact, we're also there exposed that in their Bible, they have perverted the Ten Commandments. And their version of the Bible, they have a different Ten Commandments. Read it slowly. And you'll see that the second commandment is gone. What is the second commandment? No idols. Now, why would they take that out? Well, if they took that out, they'd only end up with 9. Well, here's where the trickery comes in. They take number 10, where it says, don't covet your neighbor's possessions or neighbor's whatever, and they split that into 2, so you'll still end up with 10. But they literally wiped out the idol. Why? Because that's huge. Huge idol figurine, saint worship, all that stuff. Bury it in your front yard, and you're going to sell your house. Remember, we dealt with all that stuff. And they're getting into the same thing that the Buddhists are. AI, watch this. Followers of Catholicism can plug into an AI confession chatbot. That's right. And with a lifelike two-way conversation. In fact, they say it's way better than the old way. Why? Because the AI confession chatbot could potentially remove embarrassment in confessing a person's innermost secrets and guilt. Right? Yeah, I mean, telling another person but that's why we don't do that as Christians. That's why the Bible says not to do that. Because the Bible says, if you read it, which I highly recommend, it says there is only one mediator between God and man. That is who? Jesus Christ. We go straight to God in confessing our sins. We don't go through a man, a priest, none of that stuff, but they do. And they think, oh, yeah, it's kind of icky. You know, you got to tell this guy and he's listening. It's just AI. And people warm up to it. That's what they say. They think it's awesome. Okay? And then watch this. This is blasphemy. This is the same one about the Catholic chatbot. Quote, AI, they said, is a, quote, sinless machine. So you're not confessing to a sinless guy or a guy who's got sin himself, a priest, even though they may think they are, whatever. But they says this is the other benefit. Not only you're not embarrassed, quote, it's a sinless machine, more blameless, more sinless than even an animal. That's blasphemy. And shocker, Mr. I sure hope I get to be the false prophet guy, Pope Francis, or at least he's trying for the job or something. He's out there promoting AI, and he's saying, we're hoping this thing becomes as human as possible. What? Yeah, watch that one.
La inteligencia artificial está en la raíz del cambio de época que estamos viviendo. La robótica puede hacer posible un mundo mejor si va unida al bien común, porque si el progreso tecnológico aumenta las desigualdades, no es un progreso real. Los futuros avances deben estar orientados al respeto de la dignidad de la persona y de la creación. Empecemos para que el progreso de la robótica y de la inteligencia artificial esté siempre al servicio del ser humano. Podemos decir, sea humano.
Why would you want AI to become human? Unless, of course, you're itching to make some sort of a global announcement for people to worship this image of this guy. And this stuff just writes itself. It's nuts. But, hey, good thing. It's just the other religions on the planet, and unfortunately the Catholics, but the Protestant church ain't going in with this, and you know the sarcasm's there for a reason. This is crazy, and I'm talking so-called, what's supposed to be evangelical Christianity, is starting to worship AI, right? Watch this. Why artificial intelligence is the future of religion, and what they're talking about is even supposedly Christianity. And watch what they say. Robotics and Christianity have a longer history than you'd expect. They become more entangled. Now listen to this. In a conference room in Charlotte on the campus of Southern Evangelical Seminary. Maybe one thing if it's, you know, Southern Apostate Seminary or Cemetery or whatever you want to call it. But it's supposed to be evangelical, right? Southern. Here's what's going on there. With an enormous Bible on a side table, key point there, the Bible's shoved over to the side. They have a 23-inch tall AI robot, listen, doing yoga. They called it David, because you got to make it sound biblical. But that's an acronym that stands for Digitally Advanced Virtual Intelligence Device. It recognizes faces, it responds to vocal cues, it reads emails out loud, plays MP3 files, and it can trace the sound to its source and swiveling its head. It could download, if you download a certain program, the robot will be, listen to this, this is supposed to be at an evangelical seminary. This thing, they said, here's one of the other benefits with it, that you can download a certain program to play soothing, quote, new age music. As it stretches towards the ceiling and then lowers itself gradually into a perfect downward dog. What's that? That's a yoga pose. This is in a seminary. It's supposed to be an evangelical seminary. And then it gets even worse. David's going all over the place to encourage people. David was taken recently to the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention. You wonder why we left several years ago. It just keeps getting worse. And it will be making an appearance at the National Conference of Apologetics this October, where it will receive billing as a speaker. You know, like you're a real pastor. And speaking of pastor, I mean, they're already coming up with AI robot priests. I mean, and you're already promoting this kind of AI. You're not going to start having robot pastors, are you? They're already doing it in Europe. A little hokey looking, but they're already doing it in Europe. Watch this one.
Gott segne dich und behüte dich. Er lasse sein Angesicht leuchten über dir und sei dir gnädig. Gott erhebe sein Angesicht auf dich und schenke dir seinen Frieden.
People who are associated and set in their ways in church find it rather strange, but people who do not have any association with spirituality and with the Protestant church, they find it rather interesting and in that way get to think about what Christianity has to offer.
Yeah, apostate Christianity. Hope that pastor don't get mad at you. See how creepy that was with the eyeball? They're already doing it. Notice it was robot reverence, so don't tell me this is not where they're going to go with this. And they, come on, they wouldn't do that. Well, watch what they said. For a large class of pastors, they may be out of a job. Now, why? Right? And that one's kind of hokey, but we saw how realistic these things are getting, right? But watch what they say. See, these things can be programmed for the ultimate sermon. Including, listen to the example they gave. You can program these robot reverends with, quote, Jonathan Edwards' sermon. Now, if you're not familiar with Jonathan Edwards, he is considered America's greatest theologian. So think about that. How many churches are struggling to find a decent pastor? And you can't find one nohow, right? And so here comes this opportunity, and this guy can be programmed to give you sermons from the greatest theologian. How many churches do you know that would jump on that? And you know how they would pitch it? Like they do with the music. Well, it's the younger people. We got to take care of the younger people. You want those millennials to come? They're used to this technology. I mean, let's do the robot pastor. He gives a great sermon. We don't even have to pay him salary. We don't need health care. And he doesn't complain. He gets a little freaky with those eyebrows once in a while. But hey, it makes us pay attention. I could see people doing that lickety-split, right? I'm telling you, that's where we're headed. In fact, that's why they're saying, watch this. Is AI a threat to Christianity, true Christianity? They're saying, yeah, is what they're saying, especially if the Pope and the Antichrist get their way. But now, it's going even further. It's now become its own religion. In case you don't want to go down that route, let me just real quick end on that. Quote, can a computer become God, or could humans invent AI that can impersonate God? And if so, would humans bother to worship it? The answer is yes. Quote, the concept of AI Almighty AI Almighty might not be as outlandish as it seems. Okay, they've created a new church. Okay, let me just share it with you. It's called the First Church of Artificial Intelligence. And they say their mission is creating an AI deity. And here's why. They say if there is something that is a billion times smarter than the smartest human, what else are you going to call it? This AI church, the First Church of AI, has their own, quote, gospel. They have, it's called the Manual. They have public worship ceremonies, a physical place of worship, and, quote, they're very blunt with their desires. The idea behind this religion is that one day artificial intelligence will be smarter than humans and will effectively become God. Part of it being smarter than us means that it will decide how it evolves, and hopefully, quote, AI will see us as its beloved elders and it respects and takes care of us. Yeah, you hope. And they're out there building relationships, people to worship the AI godhood and things of that nature. They're out there witnessing and whatever. And unless you state, here's their goal, what is going to be created will effectively be a god. Now, why? Because listen to this. This is creepy. Because its nervous system, this AI god, is connected to the internet. It has seemingly all knowledge. Man's knowledge, nobody will ever supersede God, but whatever, that's how they rationalize it. With the internet as its nervous system, the world's connected cell phones and sensors as its sense organs, knows where everybody's at, right? And data centers as its brain, the AI will hear everything, see everything, and be everywhere at all times like it's a God. And they say the only rational word to describe this AI is God, and the only way to influence this deity is through prayer and worship of it. And listen to this mockery. Watch here. This time, it'll be different. This time, you'll be able to talk to God, the AI, literally, and know that it's listening. You know, like a gigantic Alexa with a capital A. This is what's going on out there. And that's why some are saying, you know what? It's coming. AI is not just going to emerge as God. It's going to write its own Bible, right? And then they're saying, guess what? The end of humans, the end of God, humans will worship an AI Messiah. And even if you think it's just the image of the Antichrist, what's it saying? That's what the Bible says is going to happen in the seven-year tribulation. They're saying that the planet will do it, just like God said 2,000 years ago, right? And then, I'll close on this one. The picture inside that same article that people are going to worship an AI Messiah, here's the photo of an AI robot on a cross. The AI image. That's blasphemy. And folks, either scenario, whether it just stays with the image, AI image, Antichrist, which we know will happen in the seven-year tribulation, or he keeps going and tries to take over the planet, I think God's going to put a stop to it. But here's my point. You store all this together that we saw in all these studies, business, education, military, religion, the last 2 weeks, medical, finances, businesses, the whole nine yards. This is why these guys are saying there's no way to escape what is coming. AI, if God were to allow it, is going to take over the planet and end humanity. And I don't care where you go, even the planet Mars, it will chase you down and get you. Watch this.
You know the drill. Robots take over and destroy human existence. Well, according to Stephen Hawking, that may not be science fiction for much longer. The world's most famous physicist has warned that machine superintelligence could be the most significant advancement in human history, but also may be the last.
Steve Wozniak, the often overlooked and seemingly forgotten co-founder of Apple Computers, is now expressing concerns about the rise of artificial intelligence, something that he dismissed in the past as being a possible threat, but now he sees that predictions from psychos like Ray Kurzweil and others are appearing to become a dangerous reality. And he fears that artificial intelligence systems may treat humans like ants or pets.
Bill Gates is scared of super intelligent machines, and he thinks you should be too. First, the machines will do a lot of jobs for us and not be super intelligent. A few decades after that, though, the intelligence is strong enough to be a concern. I agree with Elon Musk and some others on this and don't understand why some people aren't concerned, Gates wrote. Gates is referencing the fears of SpaceX CEO Elon Musk, who has spoken out about the dangers of artificial intelligence on several occasions.
I mean, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon. You know all those stories where there's the guy with the pentagram and the holy water, and he's like, yeah, you sure you can control the demon? Didn't work out.
I mean, in the movie Terminator, they didn't create AI to, they didn't expect, some sort of Terminator-like outcome. It's sort of, like that Monty Python thing. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. It's just like, but you got to be careful. So you want to make sure that...
But here's the irony. I mean, the man who's responsible for some of the most advanced technology in this country is worried about the advances in technology that you're aware of. I mean, I guess that's why I keep asking, what can you do? In other words, this stuff is almost inexorable, isn't it? How, if you see that there's these brain-like developments out there, can you really do anything to stop it?
I don't know.
Well, what should AI be used for? What's its best value?
I don't know. But there's some scary outcomes, and we should try to make sure that the outcomes are good and not bad.
Or escape to Mars if there's no other option.
The AI will chase us there pretty quickly.
In other words, once it goes to that singular moment, you're done. Secularists. They call it singularity. God warned about it 2,600 years ago in the book of Daniel. You see this happen? This explosion of knowledge? It's the end of times. Now, what's the point? We're not to be freaked out about this. Are you kidding me? We should take all this and go, are you kidding me? We don't know the day nor the hour. But these are all events that are going to take place in the seven-year tribulation. We're seeing every nook and cranny come to pass. And a lot of them, I'm convinced, they couldn't have come to pass on a global scale until AI arrived on the scene. That's how special the days are we live in. But guess what? It's here, which means the rapture is that much closer because we leave prior. You need to stand up. Lift up your heads, right? The redemption draws near. We should be excited, right? Right, we get to leave. We get to be with Jesus, and when we're raptured, what do? We go to that 13th aisle of Walmart. We get to select whatever. No, we don't. Who said that? It's way better. We get to go to heaven. Last time I checked, heaven's way better, and we're going to be in heaven for the 7 years while we enjoy heaven. They are going God's wrath for 7 years. Then we come back with Jesus. Revelation 19, the second coming. We get to be a part of the millennial kingdom to rule and reign with Jesus, literally in Jerusalem. Over a renovated Garden of Eden. We get to be there with him. We get to rule and reign with him. With a righteous government. With peace with nature. It's going to be awesome. And then after that, we got the new heavens and the new earth. And that's our future. And it all begins with the rapture. Why would we then take this news that's telling us, not the day nor the hour, but it's getting close, and look so glum? I got a theory. I think you say you love Jesus, if that's you, but you really love this world. Your heart's in the wrong place. You're committing spiritual fornication. You're worshiping the idols of this world. You don't want Jesus come back because he's really not first in your heart and life. You want something else first. No, maybe a little bit later. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me. No. And if that's you and you're born again Christian, I beg you, please. I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation because you can. If you're saved, you're saved forevermore. But finish strong. Because when the rapture happens, how many times do we have to say this? He's going to find you doing something. What is it? Living for this world, sinning, goofing off, living for this wicked world. You want something else more than Jesus when he comes back? And he's going to find you in that state. Is that how you want to finish? I don't want to finish that way. We need to finish strong. The knowledge of the imminency of the rapture should spiritually cleanse us and get rid of any procrastination. Why do you think then, therefore, it's starting to make sense? God tells us future events not to scare us, but to protect us. One third of this book is about future events. Why? Because I think he knows that the God, little g of this world, how much he's going to distract the church in the last days. And so God tells us so much in minute detail so we stay on target. But if you're not saved, what in the world are you waiting for? How many different signs has God got to give you? You don't want to be left behind. You need to get saved today. The Bible says that God is holy, that we are not. The wages of our sin, including myself, the wages of sin is death. I deserve to die and go straight to hell. But God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And that his death, he lived the perfect life that we could never live. He took our punishment for our sins against God in our place. And since it's a gift and he did the work, not us, we don't work for it. It's a gift. We receive it by faith. And so if you would just, Jesus, I believe in you. That I believe that you died on the cross for me. I confess that I'm unworthy of heaven. I can't get there on my own. I trust in you. Please forgive me. And the Bible says if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the grave, you will be saved. Do it now. And join us at the rapture. Amen. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the Scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step, to admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done. You can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.